When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Hey guys! Oh God, can you hear that in my voice? Hey guys!
Oh my God.
Hey guys!
You sound so strained. You know what you sound like? You sound like a children's TV presenter who's just not got the heart
hey
for it.
Hey guys! Hey guys! Welcome to the Wolf and Owl.
You started going out on like Thursdays before Big Friday show.
We've got a hell of a show for you. And it's a little bit of powder on my moustache. Don't worry about that. That's just some sugar from a donut I had before we started.
That's just where Timmy just dropped some sugar on my face.
Yeah. Oh no! Okay, time for the Wolf and Owl. We're going to get up to all sorts of fun.
Oh, God, mate. I've done three tour shows in a row. I've not done it for such a long time. That's the problem, mate.
How did that go,
That's
boy?
The problem.
Nice.
Great, great. Thank you to Brighton. Brighton, all the staff there.
Home game's Brighton for you, though, right? Because it's near to where you live.
Correct. But there is quite a divide between Brighton and where I live. Like, because Crawley, Brighton sort of looks down on Crawley a bit.
Oh, really?
Mm.
So even... Mm. It's sort of like... Actually, it's sort of like an old sort of Shakespearean sort of Dickens-esque tale. Like, sort of like... You know, the sort of pauper prince from sort of Crawley who sort of travels down to the big kingdom of Brighton. Yeah. With
you
his
once
words.
Laughed at me and now look at you. You come in your droves to watch me. Tables have turned, Brighton.
I've got a question. Did you dress up at Extra Fancy? Like, because you wanted everyone. What did you wear?
No, I'll tell you what did happen, mate. Oh. So I was wearing this like little, I wore this Ralph Lauren
nice
varsity jacket, right?
Oh, drip skin.
I love a varsity jacket.
Yeah, I do,
so anyway, I wore it, and then in the interval of the first show, somebody like just had taken a photo of the stage and then sent it to me. My perception of what I look like on stage and the reality of it brought home to me by that Instagram photo was...
What did it not look?
I looked awful.
Really?
Just looked so insane. My head looked like it was coming out the front of the jacket, like fucking Bebop or whatever. Just, my posture was absolutely terrible. Just the way my jeans were fitting on me, hanging off my flat A ass. Just awful.
You know,
so then I had to look. I actually talked about it. I actually came out for the second half, but the first 5 minutes talking about the breakdown I just had in the interval.
Just literally was willing a load of people who just had 6 pints in an interval to feel sorry for you.
Yeah, I know, just all of them. I just came out for a nice night. I watched a guy have a fucking breakdown.
I find the posture's a real weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually bought a posture strap.
What? What, from the internet? Or did you go and see a posture specialist?
No, I went to the posture strap shop.
Nah. Mate, you can't scrimp on such the divine delights. You have to...
No, so but let me... But you're right. Okay, first of all, you are absolutely correct. So what
when
I
it comes
was...
to backs, mate, not one size fits all, all right? You got to be really careful fucking about your back, because I'm going to tell you this now, and you might not know it, you only get one back.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, slightly disrespectful talking to a Hindu and saying that. You know we believe in reincarnation.
Right. You only get one back in this life.
I'm joking.
You might even come back as a snake who doesn't have a back.
That's your go-to animal for what I'd come back as.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's
a snake.
First
a snake.
They don't have backs, so.
They do have backs.
They don't have spines, do they?
They do have spines.
No, they don't. They wriggle around all the time like worms.
Yeah, but they have spines.
Well, maybe you'd be a worm then, because they don't have spines.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much for moving from snake to worm. Anyway, I was sort of annoyed about my posture because I sort of hunched.
Yeah, yeah.
And my head, I feel like my head's coming out forwards from the body rather than sitting on top
of
it.
That happens to, you see a lot of old people like that, don't you? Like look like tortoises. Like they lean forward quite a lot like that.
Yeah, I know. So, I don't know, what's going on with you today? Did you wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to finally finish Ramesh off?
No, I've been so sympathetic. I know
it
exactly
feel
what
like
you
it.
No, no,
doesn't feel like it.
No,
I'm telling you, I'm telling you about something that's happening. And go, oh yeah, old people do. It happens.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
The heads go really forward, don't they?
It's horrible, no, it's so funny the way you push your head forward. No, I'm saying you've got to be careful of that being a thing. Like I'm there for you, brother, but you have to really not fuck about with this.
Yeah. Okay. So I looked online, and they got this thing that sort of it's like a harness that sits over the top of your body, and you sort of pull it tight and it pulls your shoulders back or whatever. And so I wore that for a bit.
Where did you buy it? How long did you buy it again?
I bought it maybe 5 months. No, longer than that. 8 months ago. But yeah, and I didn't use it regularly enough for it to make any real difference. But now every time somebody takes a photo of me from the side, which happens a lot at tour shows, I hate it. I hate how I look. I hate how I'm stood.
This is
like one of the... did you ever watch Happy Feet?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like I stand like. Turtles.
Well, I always feel like you know the elder penguins that sort of stood at the top of the mountain, just having a go at them all.
Yeah,
I always feel like I stood like that.
Yeah,
horrible.
You know, if you were a ninja turtle, you'd be Donatello.
Oh, and what would you be? Fucking Michelangelo, all cool, throwing pizza around like a legend,
or Raphael?
Fuck off.
Or Raphael?
What, the leader? Which one is the leader?
Leonardo is the leader. Raphael.
No, but. Raphael wants to be the leader, right?
Yeah,
is that right?
So I probably wouldn't be him because I'd probably be more like leadership skills in some ways. You know what you should do though, man? And this is what I'm prescribing you as a friend because I'm worried about this. Right? I went to see an osteopath, right? Okay?
You went to see an osteopath?
Yeah.
Are you doing this on purpose now?
No, an osteopath.
An osteopath?
Yeah.
An osteopath?
Yeah, they're amazing. I thought my problem was in my lower back.
No. Before you carry on, have you ever heard anyone pronounce it like that? Ever?
I've never heard anyone really talk about them before until I found.
So how did you find this osteopath?
Well, I was speaking to someone at a golf club, and he said he'd love me to see one.
And you said, I'm looking for an osteopath.
No, he said he'd been seeing an osteopath.
He said, somebody else said to you, I've been seeing an osteopath.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just that everyone else I know that has ever said it. It says it osteopath.
Well, it's the same sort of thing, if you think about it.
No, listen, I'm not saying there's no confusion. There's absolutely no confusion, and you're not, I know what you're talking about. It's just osteopath is what everybody...
I've never literally talked about them much before, right? What I'm saying to you.
Yeah, but somebody said to you osteopath.
Yeah.
Guy at the golf course said to you osteopath. Who?
Kari,
if you listen to this podcast, can you get in touch? And just confirm whether Tom is remembering this correctly and that you said osteopath, or did you say osteopath? Just let us know, please.
He has done wonders for Kari's body. It's subtle and it's life, right? Now.
Subtle?
Yeah, subtle. Subtle, is that right?
I don't know if you've deliberately set up to do...
No.
Supple.
Right, supple. It's supple and it's life. right?
From
Live.
Yeah.
Right? Supple yeah. and live, right?
Yeah.
He's got such dexterity in his whole body, right? Okay? He's really, like, he's...
I think just for 5 minutes or so, just steer clear of words like that for a bit.
He's played,
just to sort of give yourself a chance to reset. Anyway, go on.
His golf's incredible. I go and see this osteopath, right? He's like, what do you think the problem is with your body? I list off a number of different things, right?
This is like a fucking...
therapy session.
Cheap,
right?
Cheap psychic.
Yeah.
Just letting you lead all the information. Yeah, go on.
Right. And then I then say to him, look, man, I'm worried about a number of different things. And I think it's my lower back. I think my worry is constantly my lower back just crumbling, like into sort of like sand.
Dust.
Yeah. That is my worry. So he then says, take off your clothes. Right? I take off all my clothes apart from my underpants because I'm guessing he doesn't need to see that, right? Which he didn't, so that was good on my part.
Right? Okay. Well done. Showed a bit of initiative, paid off.
He then just rubs his hands all over my back, actually on my buttocks a little bit, my hips, right? And my legs, right?
It sort of sounds like the opening to an erotic story.
then I'm like... He says, well, yeah, do you feel any pain here? And he's on my lower back. I said, I don't feel pain. I'm worried about it crumbling. He then just rubs his hands up to my shoulders and my shoulder blades. And then he says, this here, this is the problem. And I said, right. He's like, you carry too much tension in your shoulders. You carry like the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Right. He did not say that.
Yeah, he did.
You carry the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Yeah. Right.
Christ. Okay.
And then he... literally just sort of starts like doing that. He then lays me slowly on my front, right? And then he starts just really like pulling at me and sort of like throwing me about a bit, like getting into like a real, gives me a real like going over, like a really deep sort of like, sort of tissue massage kind of thing and pulling all my limbs get pulled, right?
Yeah.
I skip out of there. And since then, like, and I've been back to see Mr. Merriman a couple of times, right?
Why would you name him?
Right, and I feel delicious in my posture.
Really?
Yeah.
When's the last time you went?
Well, obviously, I've been filming, so I haven't been. No, but he's given me exercise, breathing exercises. Because you know what, right? This is a little one for you. And maybe you can, because I'm not sure how seriously you take breathing, right? I want you, 4 times today, to stand up, breathe in very hard, like, so take it in right to your lungs, right? And then breathe out, get rid of all the dirty, filthy, scummy old air that's in your lungs, right? Okay? Right?
Yeah.
And then do that 4 times. Really, really fucking, like, pay hit. And everyone listening, do this. And then just look at you in the mirror, smile, and say, I'm breathing. What a miracle.
Why? Because you want to feel like what it's like to be a...
No, Rom, look, I'm trying to help you out.
No, I understand the breathing in and out hard. That I get. Why do you have to say, I'm breathing? It's a miracle.
Because you need, right, this is the thing, right?
I think you might have joined a cult.
I haven't joined. No. You've got to, like, look at your body and...
I'm gonna find out. I'm going to read a news story where you amongst 20 to 30 others were found dead alongside Mr. Merriman in some warehouse.
Warehouse
where it's like
he's
shut off all the air to the building and then asked you guys to breathe in and out really deeply.
But how often do you do breathing exercises?
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up, Tom, because Lisa the swan, has been been telling me to breathe from my stomach rather than my chest. Do you know?
So
obviously, you know, I don't want to go on and on about this, but I've been running.
Yeah.
And she said to me, one of the reasons you get out of breath is because you're breathing too high up, she keeps saying.
Yeah.
She's a drama teacher, so she's all about breathing. So she says, you need to breathe from your stomach. So she started like trying to get me to breathe more deeply. Is this all in consistent with what your teachings of you and your leader?
Lisa and Merriman sound like they'd be like two peas in a pod in a lot of ways. So, yeah, that's the teachings I've been using as well. So it's good to see that both me and Lisa are both coming at you at the same, sort of with the same artillery in a sense. Yeah. You've got to make your tummy really big. I like this.
No problems there. That ship sailed, mate. You know, when you're sort of helping out, or when you, I don't know what I like less, when you know less than me about something, or when you know more. When you know more, you really you sort of take. I don't know if you're aware of what you're doing. You've taken on this kind of real smug, patronising.
No, I'm not trying to be patronising. I'm just like everyone else, worried about. Like, I just want to basically get you and what I want to do is fucking get phone work today because I'm filming. Say, look, I can't come in. There's an emergency's coming up. Literally, turn that phone call off and be straight on the phone to Merriman and say, listen, mate, we've got an emergency down in Crawley.
Yeah, and then work say, well, why have you had to take the whole day off to make one phone call?
No, because then me and Merriman would come down to Crawley.
Why do you need to be there?
No, just to help out.
And the last thing I want when I'm having like a sort of a relaxing massage breathing experience is you on the sidelines, like my fucking birthing partner, talking me through it.
No, but right, the worst thing would be, right, if Merriman just turned up randomly at your house and knocked on the door and Lisa was like, hello, who's this? And he's like, hi, I'm Merriman. I'm here to see Ramesh about his breathing. And then you'd be like, oh, God, I'm nervous about seeing him and all that. And you'd probably stay upstairs and Lisa would be like, come down, Rom, come down. He's bloody actually all right. We've had a cup of tea together. And then you'd sort of come down with your hands in your pockets and Merriman would be like, oh, yeah, I can, right, let's get you bloody breathing, mate, right? If I was there, I would be able to mediate all of that. So the situation...
How? Talk me through this. So Merriman turns up, I go... Oh, I don't want to do this. And I go upstairs.
Yeah.
And what do you, Lisa? No,
you sprint upstairs as soon as there's a bang on the door because okay. You know it's him. Right?
Yeah.
Lisa goes, oh, Ramesh is right.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
There we go.
So Lisa goes, Ramesh has run up to his bedroom because he's scared of change, right? Merriman goes, oh, you know, if he doesn't change, he'll stay the same, right? And I...
He doesn't sound the most profound guy, if I'm being honest with you.
And I say, Merriman, Lisa, go and get yourself a green tea each, right? I'll deal with this. And I'll come up to your room and you'll be, who's there?
You come upstairs.
Yeah, I'll knock do a gentle tap like this on your door, right?
Yeah.
And you'll go, who's there? And it'll be, it's me, mate. And you'll be like, what do you want? And I'll say, mate, you know what we talked about, your bloody breathing earlier on the podcast? I'm here with Merriman now, and we're here to change your life. You want your life to change? And you'll go, I'm scared of change. You know that, Tom. And I'll go, look, come out. You'll be 5 solid minutes of breathing, and if this doesn't change your life, I'll buy you a big vegan kebab and some chips, and we'll go to the park. And then you open the door, and you'll stare at me in the eye, and you'll go, it's better bloody work, friend. And I'll go, have I ever let you down before? All right, we'll go down. Merriman will do this when you walk down. Looks like somebody wants to change his life.
Oh, God.
Right, and then we all just did breathing exercises. Afterwards, you just smile at me and Lisa, like a golden retriever who's found biscuits for the first time, right? And you'll look at us both and go, wow, that's exactly how I dreamed it would be. And Merriman just get basically...
Listen. Right, you do these bits a lot where you sort of role play as me, right? By the way, just so you know, Tom's basically fucking orgasming right now in glee at what he's just done.
No, but the end of the story is Merriman basically just smiles and nods and then says, you know, I'll see you both later. I'll see you all later. And he gets in his car and leaves.
Why did we return to that ending? Why did you interrupt me? To end the story with Merriman gets in his car and looks. I thought there was another bit to the story.
No, hold on.
And then Merriman gets in his car and leaves.
Yeah.
What are you looking at your fucking watch for?
No, I was just seeing if it was Merriman texting, so I just texted him.
People email in and they love that bit when you sort of pretend to be me or whatever. Yeah. I think a particular fan favourite is when you pretended to be me in the trenches.
Yeah.
Right. And I know you're doing it for a joke.
Yeah.
It really does upset me what you think of me as a person.
Why? In what
this
sense?
Sort of like, you know, in this sort of kind of nerdy, kind of ratty,
no,
sort of pathetic human being.
Look, the truth of me and you, right, is, I guess, like, say we are basically two dogs, right? And we're like puppies and we've been brought up inside, like, until we're allowed to go outside, right? Yeah. When the back gate sort of, or the back door opens to go out the garden, I'd sprint out there. I'd sniff the flowers and I'd roll in the dewy, on the dewy lawn, and, you know, I'd sort of like be inquisitive and stuff. And because, you know, in some ways that's actually quite dangerous and it's actually a bit fucking edgy, right?
Edgy?
No, but then you'd be at the back door going, oh, God, I really want to get out there, but I don't know if I can do it, right? Until the owner of us as dogs kicks you out the backside, and then you fall out, you do that little Disney roll thing, like you roll over, and then you look around, and the back door closes, and I'm there on the lawn going, bloody hell, mate, it's amazing, I've just chased the bumblebee. And then you're like, wow, and then you just do what I'm doing, and you love it.
Well, it's sort of, I've gone to you, it's really upsetting what you think of me, and you go, no, it's not like that. And then you fucking reiterated it even more. You absolutely fucking hammered me there.
It's quite sweet. It's sweet. It's endearing.
Is it?
One of the things I love most
about you. Also, it does sort of uncover the God complex that you've got.
Oh, God, God.
I've come, after being kicked out the back door, I suddenly, oh, gosh, I'm doing what you're doing. Why don't you go fuck yourself?
I just keep seeing him like a little pug, but with your face.
You'd be a Labrador, wouldn't you?
Yeah, a bit boundless and full of life and love. You know, constantly being tickled on the tummy and loving it.
Oh, I can imagine that, because this is a bit like how it is on the podcast, sort of us two wandering around.
Yeah.
And then people coming up and petting you. Isn't he lovely? And then just looking at the pugs going, what's wrong with the other one? No, is that one all right?
You'd be quite cute. Actually, that's quite interesting as well, because pugs have breathing problems as well.
Well, there you go. It's all. I don't have breathing problems.
Oh, Lisa said about you breathing from your chest.
No, it's not a breathing problem. It's sort of encouraging me to breathe in a different way. She doesn't say I've got a breathing problem.
Well, no, you've got to be careful, because if you're running or not, just make sure you get on top of that breathing.
I will do.
We should just go running together. Well, I'll be on a bike. You can run, because I'm more of a cyclist, obviously. But yeah, I just sort of cycle alongside you. How did you cope yesterday, mate, with the whole fucking social media collapse?
What, the old Facebook, Instagram, what's that?
Yeah,
coped all right, actually. Although, because I'm not on Twitter anymore, I suddenly realised how dependent I am on Instagram for sort of just shits and giggles. Yeah. So that was tricky.
Did you go back on Twitter? I know a lot of people went back on there.
No. That Twitter is too poisonous for me to ever fucking go back there. I told you, occasionally I have a look on there. Like, you know, like, I don't ever access my account. I don't even remember what my password is now.
Yeah.
But like, if I, occasionally I'll go on there and it'll always be somebody like saying something horrible to me.
Yeah, it's not.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean that in a kid way. I just mean, every time, like, I've looked at it, I reckon four times since I've quit, which was like January, right? So, and every time in amongst the sort of comments, there'll be somebody saying something horrible, or more than one person saying something horrible. So then I think to myself, why would I come back onto Twitter? Do you know what I mean? It's just like,
it's such an like, odious place, isn't it? I actually sort of thought it was quite nice actually having a little bit of a break from it all. I mean, obviously it's quite scary thinking about the what it might have been.
I actually think it sort of allowed us to sort of have a little insight into the paradise of social media disappearing.
Yeah, but also what was nice was, I think, you know what it showed me is how much of the time I spend, like, you know, like with anxiety, right, and any kind of, like, phones are coping mechanisms for any kind of sort of, like, if there's any tragedy or any kind of sort of, like, any sort of change in the system, you know, like a baby or like a kid, you'll reach for your favourite toy or a blanket. Phones have become that for adults.
Mm.
So even if you're watching, like, I don't know, like, if you're watching Married at First Sight, you're watching something and something becomes quite awkward or something becomes quite sort of cringy, you'll reach for your phone. And that's the usual sign of just like going, oh, I'm feeling like fucking weird about this. So you're just looking, you know, there's a sort of comfort from that. But it was quite interesting yesterday just not to have that as a sort of like stabilizers. So all of a sudden you're sort of like, oh my God, I've got to be like more at one with.
Yeah. The other thing I found was that I didn't realize how much I rely on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And then I started texting people. It felt like I was fucking sending carrier pigeons. It just feels like such a different experience, doesn't it?
Isn't it weird that me and you are text friends?
What, rather than WhatsApp friends?
We don't WhatsApp each other, do we?
No, we don't. Because it's because you like to send little voice notes, don't you?
You do that.
I mean, you can do that. You can do that on WhatsApp, but for some reason,
I don't know why. I think like it's quite sweet whenever I look at my texts, and if I, you know, like, If there was such a thing as a bill, I'd be like, wow, I've spent like, I don't know, like, £1.70 on Romesh messages, because you're about the only person I actually text.
Sweet, yeah, you're the only person I text. It just gives you an indication that we're not really friends.
Well, no, we are friends. We've actually got a whole app that we just use, like our own private sort of correspondence.
Yeah, we exclusively use the text app for each other.
Yeah, it's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just the only people on text that I've got now are you, and people that I don't really consider to be friends. So, hey, it's nice, isn't it?
You're still smarting from the breathing thing. I can see this.
I'm not smarting. It's just that it's the combination of the me being upstairs followed up by the sad little dog thing. I found it really tricky to sort of process.
You look, in a way, I think you just really got to fucking just... I think after this, right, meditate for half an hour. Right, and then just get your head around it, and then just take away from it what you will. But as Merriman always says to me, you know, I'm not here to fucking.
How many times have you seen Merriman?
Twice.
Because he's gone from being somebody that gave you a bit of a massage to like your fucking guru.
No,
but we're just seconds away from you. Go, I'll tell you what, if we had any guest on here, any guest on here ever, it'd be Merriman.
Oh, I'll tell you that now. Yeah, we need to talk about this because. We've come to an avenue, an interesting place in our lives, Ramesh.
Very, very exciting avenue.
Our train friend that we talked about, who's an amazing human being, love the guy to pieces, really actually thriving and just doing amazing things out there at the moment. He's said, do we want to go?
You've decided you want to try and hitch your wagon to his coattails and try and use this podcast. So I'm boost this podcast. But you've seen a social media star, somebody who's up and coming, people really like him. You've started posting like a thirsty little fuck on Instagram.
It's, oh, this guy's absolute, honestly, trust me, this is what social media's about, guys. You know, sometimes the world can get negative, sometimes troubles and strife can get you down, and then you see somebody like this young man right here, and you realise, you know what, happiness is purity is love. Everyone posted on here would do well to learn from his example. Honestly, you're a sweet, sweet soul. And you know what? Sometimes I think people talk about Martin Luther King, people talk about Gandhi, people talk about Nelson Mandela. When I think about these people, I think about you, young man. You're absolutely incredible. P.S. Can we go train spotting with you, please?
He asked. He said a lovely...
No, but he asked in the way that... Do you know when you're... Listen, by the way, I love the geyser, right?
Show him some respect on that name.
Okay, sorry, let me put some respect on that name, right? His videos and everything are great. I think he's a lovely, fantastic young man.
Right? I actually think I'd cry if I met him.
I can't even imagine what that would look like to see that. It'd just make him feel really uncomfortable. Just him sort of going, it's nice to meet you, Tom. You know, because he asked in the same way that, you know, when you bump into somebody that you haven't seen for a while, and you know when you do, you go, anyway, it's nice to see you, we should meet up sometime, right? No. You don't want to meet up with that person.
This is the difference, right? He said in such a sweet way. He was like, I'd love it if you didn't say I'd love it. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to give you the skinny on what he said, because I know,
okay, go on.
Obviously, look, me and him have been messaging. It's very confidential.
How old is he?
I'm guessing like mid-20s.
Okay.
All right. So we have to give him £100 to buy the pizza. He said it's very sweet. But they're all laughing at about £100 to buy. But maybe we'd go take him out for pizza, Rom. Would you and Romish like to come train spotting with me? I'd love it if you'd like to do this.
What, did he message you?
Yeah, he DM'd me. And I said, yeah, mate, thanks for getting in touch. Me and Ron would love to come along. Let's make this happen, my friend. And he said, brilliant. I know there's a location across the UK. You know, there's always unexpected things that happen when you go. He knows a lot of places in the southwest, which I know that you like, but he can travel. So he's just said, like, his last one was like, you know, how would you recommend we organise it? Because I don't know where to start. And he did a laughing emoji. So, mate, do you know what? He reached out to me. We reached out to him. A friendship's blossoming between the three of us. Yeah?
Well, it's not the three of us, is it?
you're obviously a massive part of coming along for the day. I said that you would.
I know you said that I would. And despite the fact I think that's ethically unsound what you did, agreeing that I would go along. I am actually up for going along and doing a bit of train spotting.
Wait, we could record it live.
I think we should all. I reckon all three of us should get the cameras on our heads.
Get those.
Yeah. And then we'll get that up there. I mean, should we be honest? It's another one of these famous things that the Wolf and I say they're going to do.
Look, when have you got tour shows down that way, southwest?
I'm actually in Bristol.
When?
Quite soon.
How soon? Because I've got...
You actually want me to give you...
I've got 3 weeks.
So here, rather than doing this separately afterwards, we're doing this actually on the podcast.
Well, no, it's exciting for the viewers. They're on the ride now.
Yeah.
What's the date?
14th of November.
Yeah, I'm around. Oh, my God. I actually feel sick.
I think we could have said that by default.
Yeah.
And I've given you any date. Here you go. I wonder what you think about this. I'm doing two shows in a day.
What?
In Bristol. I'm doing a matinee performance. The first time I've ever done it.
What would be incredible, right?
Yeah.
You do your gigs, me and Francis or Francois, we come along and watch. Probably the afternoon one.
Yeah.
The matinee. I'd rather go to the matinee one.
I don't think Francois's going to want to come to the comedy.
Are you joking? He seems like...
Why do you keep saying Francois? It's because it's bourgeois.
Yeah, but he...
Is not going to want...
Mate, I can see him literally sitting there pissing himself at your gig while we're just eating pizza in the back.
Mm. Don't eat during the gig.
Right. But yeah, so that's a date, 40th of November. I'm going to get in touch with him today. So very exciting news.
Okay.
You know who also might want to come along?
Who?
Merriman, so he can sort your breathing out.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's actually quite good, because I'm probably going to be quite excited to meet Francis, and then it'd be good to get on top of that.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with how I've been on this podcast so far.
Why aren't you happy?
I know I do this a lot, but I just sort of...
You've been very funny.
My voice is annoying me.
You know what it is as well?
What?
I always notice when your hair's messy, you're not as funny.
Why are you so horrible? Why are you being so horrible?
No, you know I love you.
Why are you being
so... Right, so far, what have I done on this podcast today? I've sorted out your breathing technique, right?
No. Yeah. What you've done is you've done a role play where I'm a pathetic little turd who runs up to his bedroom, right? Then you've done the thing where I'm like a little pug that's too scared to leave his fucking back door.
Then I've sorted you out right. Going for Trainspotting one of your idols.
Mm.
You know?
Okay. All right. Let's. Right,
you know let's how much I love you. I'm just saying to you now. Right. You've been very funny.
Love you too. Right. Should we do some emails?
Yeah.
Email one. Thank you once again to the Swan for
big shout out to Swan.
Doing the email selection.
Big shout out to Swan.
This is from the Quokka.
The Quokka? Is that actually an animal?
Yeah, it's like, isn't it a little? I'm going to look it up. I think it's like a little rodent.
Wow.
The Quokka, also known as a short-tailed scrub wallaby,
wow,
is a small macropod about the size of a domestic cat. They're absolutely adorable. Can you are you able to Google one right now?
How do you spell that?
Do it, because I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Q U O K K A.
Oh, wowzers! Yeah, they are cute. Mm. Oh, God, that one's so cute. You know what? That could be your next tattoo.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, that's it. This is my favourite one. It's a bit like a corgi's had sex with a cat.
That's my favourite Pornhub search, coincidentally. Okay. G'day. This is Quokka coming at you from Rottnest Island in Western Australia.
Wow. I always get excited when it's Australians.
Love the podcast. Got into it after buying Rom's book in a secondhand bookstore in Geraldton a few months back. Keep up the good work. P.S. I never read books, but I loved it. I've now mailed it to my mate in London. Sorry that you've not getting any profit from that. I've got two boys, Leo 7, Fergus 5. Since Leo started school, one of the school dads has been calling me Fergus, thinking that's my name. I didn't correct him the first time because Fergus was with me and I thought he might have been saying hello to Fergus. It was all very confusing. Anyway, I've let it slide for a few years and all the other school dads think it's hilarious and don't correct him. It's got to the point where attending school events is a stressful situation where I sneak around and try and avoid him. I've thought about correcting him, but there are other dads around who know about it and it will probably think I'm mental for letting it go on so long. I'd really respect your advice, so any thoughts greatly appreciated. Yours, the Quokka.
We don't even, did he even say what his real name is? In real life?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Alistair.
Oh, wow. Alistair's a cool name. So it's Fergus. They're both sort of quite Scottish names, actually. maybe to save embarrassment, because it is, you know, it's obviously going on for some time. Maybe pull this the said dad up and just say that, you know, man, can I have a word with you? I've just remembered we called my son Fergus. And now there's two Ferguses in the house. It's starting to get quite confusing for my wife and everyone else that we know because, you know, everyone, two Ferguses, it's, you know, we tried to do, like, call me Big Fergus and him Little Fergus, and it just got more and more, you know. So I've actually been the bigger man as his father and changed my name to Alistair. So call me Alistair from now on. And then everyone, the embarrassment is safe for everyone.
Yeah, no, except for the fact that this guy's going to, like, he's going to think he's a complete moron, isn't he?
Well, no, not if he says that. Because then he goes, oh, that's a really nice thing. Bloody hell. That's a decent...
Why did you choose... And then go, why did you choose Alistair?
I just always liked Alistair as a name.
Mm.
It's just like, feels like, you know, as you know, obviously with my name being Fergus, you know, we're assuming I've probably got
Scottish. Don't the kids call you Dad?
Yeah, the kids call me Dad, but obviously, like, you know, when my wife will shout Fergus, me and my son both shout, yeah, and it's like, oh, shit.
So to avoid, I just want to get this straight. So to avoid the inconvenience of the occasions when your wife shouts out Fergus, you've changed your name?
Yeah. Now she'll be like, Alistair or Fergus, and I'm like...
No, oh, I understand. Yeah, yeah, I understand the logistics of it. It's just, it feels like quite an extreme step.
And actually, you should probably know that I've been slowly filtering this into the school gates. Like, you know, so I told Dave, and then I told Carl, and quite a lot of them. So some people have known me for Alistair a little bit longer than you have, but I just wanted.
So if I met you at the pub now,
yeah.
If you and I met at the pub for a drink,
yeah.
What would I call you,
Alistair, or just call me mate, or bro, or brother, or cocker, or whatever?
Yeah, but your son's not there, is he? So why am I calling you for? Why am
well,
I not
yeah,
calling you
but otherwise, like, you know, my trouble is, like, you know, I don't do things by halves. Like, if I'm going to go for it, I'll go for it. And, like, you know, otherwise it's going to get confusing because I'm almost leaving my life as Fergus outside the house and then I'm Alistair inside the house. It'll become quite confusing for me.
Okay. So I just want to clarify, because it's absolutely fine, by the way, but I just want to clarify, to avoid the instances when you're at home and your wife calls out Fergus and both of you say yes, to avoid that that tiny, tiny occurrence.
Yeah.
You have changed your name in every single walk of life.
Also, obviously.
At work.
Yeah.
With your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, with my parents. Even my parents, they weren't happy about it. But also, if
your parents call you Alistair now as well, do they?
Yeah, yeah. Or they'll call me son. Yeah. Actually, to be fair, what I've realised is people don't seldom use names, actually. We have so many different ways of like engaging.
Do you know what? That's what I was going to say in response to this email, is I don't know why this is such a big... I'm not trying to dismiss what Alistair's saying, what the Quokka's saying. But you very rarely use names, do you?
No. Unless Ramesh, what we've got on our hands here is a prick who's been horrible to Fergus and knows that that's not his name, or it's been horrible to Alistair,
There you go. You've behaved exactly as the prick that you're criticising.
Yeah, but it's quite confusing. You know, this is why he should just have his name as Alistair. But
you're absolutely right.
Show with Alistair on the back.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then he'll go, Fergus, why have you got that? And then he'll go, it's because my name's actually Alistair. And then he'll go, okay, that's a bit embarrassing. And then he'll go, why the fuck did I buy this football shirt? What I want to know, do you know that the problem I have, this hasn't happened to me, this people thinking, I'll tell you what has happened though, is that people at the school gates or people that I meet and stuff, I have seen them quite a few times and can't remember what their name is. And it's now too late to ask them what their name is. That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what you should do?
Go on.
Get another friend. I'd do it for you because I love you. Like, and bring me to the school gates and then introduce me to people and then be like, this is Tom and this is... And then pretend something's distracted you. Like, I don't know, you've seen a squirrel on a tree or something.
Mm.
And then that person will turn around and say, hey...
I don't think I want to pretend to be distracted by a squirrel in a tree.
Right.
I think that's slightly more embarrassing than not knowing what their name is.
Or like you see a crisp packet or you see a car that you like, and you'll turn around and go, oh, fucking hell, is that, I don't know, Mercedes Quattro?
Yeah.
Right? And then I'll be like, oh, hi, I'm Tom. And they'll go, oh, I'm Debbie. I chat to Ramesh quite a lot at the school gates.
I couldn't help noticing you looking at that made-up car there, Mercedes Quattro. So Mercedes have done a brand that's named after a drink? Yeah. I have, yeah. That's what I was distracted by.
But if we do that, and I come and stay with you and Lisa for a week, and we just...
Do you know what, Tom? Yeah. But it's a really nice idea, except I think people have started to cotton on to that.
Oh, shit, really?
But yeah, because it's such a well-known thing. So you know, I think it's been done in sitcoms and stuff like that, or they've talked about it, and people have done that a lot. So I can't remember exactly when it happened, but I've done that. And the person sort of giving me a knowing look as if to say, oh, you don't know what my name is, do you? And that's really bad.
You know what? There is memory tactics and stuff apparently you can use.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like word association.
I'll tell you what I've done in the past. When I've had to do stuff for panel shows, where you've got to remember I can't remember which show it was, but you've got to remember a list of things. I do like one of these memory stories. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've heard of these.
You imagine like a story that involves different things you're trying to remember, and you sort of walk yourself through that story, and you make it kind of ridiculous, and you make it all really vivid in your head. It's amazing.
That's actually pretty cool. One of the coolest things you've ever said, genuinely. Like that's genuinely blown me away with coolness, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I do. You can't take a compliment.
Okay.
I actually genuinely mean that. I'm going to start doing that in my life.
So this next email, I didn't give any advice for that. Alistair, what I think you should do, in all seriousness, is I think you should just tell him. I think you should just...
Well, you've got two really good bits of advice there.
Well, actually, I don't know. If it's really bothering you, you should tell him. But my instinct would be just to leave it.
Yeah,
I just sort of think it is a bit embarrassing, and it doesn't really matter. Who cares what some guy, you know, what one of the parents thinks your name is? Do you know what I mean? I think you can live with that. So yeah, it's one of those two things. Either tell him or don't. I mean, it's not great advice, but
either way, anyway. Good luck and enjoy Australia, my friend.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Enjoy Western Oz.
And also, Ramesh has two books. If you've read one, the other one's brilliant as well. So.
Well, what a lovely compliment coming from somebody who's read neither. Thank you so much.
You sent me both.
Yeah, I've sent you both. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, if he enjoyed the one of them, he'll probably enjoy the other one as well.
Is it probably?
Yeah.
Okay. The old classic Tom Davis tune change there. Lovely. Very smoothly done. Okay. This is from Philip the Spider Monkey.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Dear Rom, Tom and Swan, thank you for cracking me up each week. Makes the walk to work something to look forward to. I am in need of some suggestions regarding my sweet, sweet mother, Rose. She retires this month after working hard her whole life, whether it's been working in warehouses, sewing ballet shoes, delivering sandwiches, or a current role of helping people book their holidays for a popular British holiday park. Do we suspect Centre Parks?
Or Butlins. What's the
or
one?
Butlins, yeah.
There's another one, isn't there?
Haven.
Haven, that's it, yeah. I reckon Rose works for Haven. I like Haven.
Is it normal to celebrate retirement? And if so, how? Should it be a big party or something more personal just for her? Rose isn't the kind to like a fuss. She's the kind of person who'd prefer a Toby Carvery over the Ritz, a bucket of chicken over a bouquet of flowers, a bingo hall over the Royal Albert Hall, which is why I love her so much. God, this sounds like fucking one of your endings to the podcast. Do you have any ideas of how I could show my appreciation for sweet Rose and all that she's done for me and my father over the years? She's one of the kindest people you could meet, and I feel she deserves something special. Any advice? Greatly appreciated.
You know what I'm going to push forward here, Spider Monkey? Is a week of Rose, where you just do all of Rose's favourite things, and you just celebrate the woman that is Rose. You know, go out and take her to KFC, buy her a bucket of chicken, and just, you know, go and sit and watch swans just sort of sweep upon a cold, misty river. You know, the three of you just sitting there just devouring a bucket each. You know, go to Toby Carvery of a Sunday. I think, you know, take her to
bingo. What a horrible thing for the swans, by the way. Sort of you sitting on the boat, eating bird bodies in front of them.
Maybe, yeah, don't do that, actually, because that is probably rubbish, is right. Yeah, you know, eat the chicken and then go and see the swans, you know, and just celebrate this wonderful woman who's given you so much and taken so little. You know, she sounds like an absolute queen. You know, maybe even just, you know, do something with a couple of her friends. You know, I don't know if Rose is a drinker or... Yeah, you know, maybe she's, you know, she doesn't sort of dabble with the devil's poison, but, you know, mate, you know, just sort of like, you know, just like look at the things that she likes doing. Yeah, maybe like every now and again during the wait, you surprise her with the ballet shoe that she'd sewn, yeah, you know, or a trip to Haven. Like, yeah, you know, you've booked so many amazing trips to Haven, to the parks, Butlins, wherever. You know, thus, this is us now. We're going there, Rose. We're going there now, you know. And you drive her there, and the three of you have a great time.
We're going to the place that you've been able to get a massive discount on for ages. The whole time you've worked
there. Maybe talk to one of our colleagues so you get a nice sweet discount. But what I'm saying is just celebrate. Yeah, maybe take her to the hairdressers, get her like a really sweet, sweet haircut that she's always wanted. Mm. Yeah, get her ears pierced. Yeah,
yeah. I actually agree with what Tom said. I think you should, in answer to your question. Philip, celebrating retirement is great. It's first of all, can we just say,
let's just no, celebrating Rose is the key.
Yeah. But can I just say, I love the relationship you got with your mum.
Yeah.
I just think reading this email, I know this is the sort of thing that Tom normally says, but it just, you just sound like such a grateful, lovely bloke, man.
And
like,
a wonderful, you know, just, son.
Yeah. Wanting to do something nice for your mum. Honestly, man. I really like it. I just think you come across so nice, and I'm sort of, yeah, it's just lovely. So I think what Tom's saying is right. Celebrate Rose. It's a big, big change in her life now. You know, bearing in mind you've said she's done a lot of different jobs and she's been working hard her whole life. She's going to be looking forward to retirement, but also it's going to be a little bit bittersweet because...
Yeah.
You know, work being a big part of her life is suddenly going out a bit. So it would be nice to do something really massive to help her with that kind of processing, that transition into retirement. Just do all of her favourite things for her. And when you do that, it'll be something that you'll look back on for the rest of your lives fondly. You're giving yourselves a gift as well.
Yeah.
As well as Rose. So good luck with that. And you sound like such a nice
just
bloke.
Get in touch and say how the week's been. I genuinely looking forward to hearing.
How do you want it, Tom? In a series of pictures?
But you know what? Generally, and
maybe a comic book.
I'd like to see the three of them just do something nice together. Mm. I think that would, you know, little moments like that. I think it's, you know, we have Instagram and Instagram and you know, obviously it was Danny yesterday, you have all these social medias. But actually seeing three people who clearly love each other and are incredible human beings having a wonderful time, I think that reinstalls a little bit of something to your soul.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck, Philip.
Yeah.
We like you.
All of Philip, Rose, and also we don't know your dad's name. But let's just say, yeah, to your dad as well.
All of you, yeah. Take it to the max.
Yeah.
Okay, should we do one more?
Let's do one more of us.
Hi, Rom, Tom and Swan. Absolutely love the podcast. Please keep me anonymous. I'd love to know your thoughts on how to tell if men are interested. I got out of a long-term relationship this year and I'm now ready to move on, but I've been out of the dating scene for such a long time, I forgot how hard it is. I recently started chatting to a man I met through work who I'm very interested in. We've met up a couple of times, but I just can't tell if he thinks of us as friends or potentially more. We laugh a lot when we're together and he says he enjoys seeing me, but will then go a week without getting in touch. We have plans to meet up again, but I feel he's sending very mixed signals, like not responding to my messages. I'm not sure if this is because he's not interested or because it's early days at the moment. I'd love to have a man's opinion on this, so I'm very prone to overthinking. Thank you for taking the time to read my email and keep doing you, brothers. From woman in her 20s.
Well, let me tell you, number one, woman in her 20s. Overthinking is a curse that I am blighted with myself. I overthink every little thing. It can become it can be very taxing on your brain. Overthinking a lot, and not just, romantic and go like relationships, but sort of friendships, family sort of thing. You know, it can be quite a difficult thing. So I think one of the most underrated things is to try and get sort of perspective, but also a little bit of honesty and being sort of saying to this guy, maybe how you feel. Which is hard because you're going to put yourself out there. But I think actually sort of just being like earnest in yourself and saying that this is where I'm coming at this thing from. I really like you. I enjoy spending time with you. I'd like to sort of see if this could go anywhere. It's a high risk move because if he agrees, then he's going to be, this is amazing. You're going to have a relationship, hopefully one that's going to flourish and you have an amazing life together. If it doesn't and he's like, well, I don't really feel that way, you're going to go through a little bit of a tough time, but in the short term. And in the long term, the sort of hardships of not knowing and always guessing isn't going to be there. And I think that's a very important thing in society. I think we should all try and be a little bit more honest and earnest of how we feel and telling people that. And that's what I go with. And good luck. He'll be a lucky man to hit up and hitch his wagon to your star, my friend. So keep doing you. Keep being amazing.
Tom, very, very nice advice. To our anonymous woman in her 20s, first of all, I totally get why it's difficult. You've been in a long-term relationship. You switch off all of those kind of, you're just out of that. It's like a language, all that sort of how you doing that sort of dance of you want to show somebody, you like somebody, but you don't want to come across too keen because that'll put them off and all of that shit. It's just so fucking irritating. But I think what Tom's saying is right. I think it's difficult because you in your 20s, your attitudes are different in your 20s. Like Tom and I are in our 40s. I think if, God forbid, that the swan ever suddenly came to her senses and left me.
Never going to happen, bro. She's a dream. Loves you, like we both do.
It sounds like what you're saying outside my bedroom door when...
Merriman's outside.
Merriman comes around, yeah. I think that now that I'm in my 40s, I think to myself what Tom's saying, which is I would just be open with somebody and go, is this, do you see this going somewhere or is this a proper thing? Because you got this, in your 40s, you have a bit of a bit more of your mentality is more geared towards just not wasting time and just, just being open and getting on with things. Whereas in your 20s, you sort of, I don't know, I remember being in my 20s, there's a lot of that. There was a lot of that kind of not letting on someone that you like them. You don't want to come across too strong and blah, blah, blah. But I think, look, based on what you said, there's a number of things could be happening here. This guy could be meeting you and be having a bit of fun with you, but doesn't want to see anything more than that. And the reason that he's not replying to your text is that you're low down on his list of priorities of people to get back to. Or it could be that he really likes you, because I've done this in the past. he really likes you. And then when you text, he's deliberately holding off because he wants to feel like, he wants to look cool. He wants to put that perception across. You know, I've done that in the past. So I guess it's sort of a long-winded way of agreeing with Tom. I think you just sort of openly sort of ask the question, you know, and just see. And see what he says. And, you know, he might be one of these men that doesn't like women making the first move, in which case, fuck him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think, you know, if he's...
Striped if he's a dickhead.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so it's not really worth your time. So I don't think anything bad really can come... Like Tom said, nothing bad can really come from you just approaching the subject openly. Because like Tom said, if he's not interested, then he's not interested. At least you know. And if he doesn't like the fact you've made the first move, then I don't think he's all right. You know, I don't think this is the sort of guy you should be getting involved with. But the best possible outcome is he's just like, he finds the fact that you've just cut through the shit very refreshing, and you start on the next stage of your relationship that much sooner because you've had the courage to come out and say it. So, you know.
And if he finds your openness and your sort of like, you know, how... forward you are. If he finds that overwhelming, as Ramesh says, fuck him.
Yeah.
He ain't worthy of you, girl.
Absolutely. So, listen, good luck. I know it's hard coming out of a long-term relationship, but you will find somebody that makes your last relationship
and
pale.
I mean this, and I wish I could send you a T-shirt that said it. You got this. You got this.
If Tom did send you that T-shirt, I would sort of recommend not wearing it. You know, particularly if you want a relationship to progress at any time in the near future. hope that helped.
Oh, man, I just clicked.
take care of yourself. Okay. Yeah. Tomo, it's about that time, my G. First of all, before you get into your last thing, yeah. I'm so excited about seeing you tomorrow.
Man, I can't wait. You know what? It's a celebration. You know, Rose and her family are going to have a celebration of Rose. Tomorrow, we'll have a celebration of the Wolf and Owl. It's going to literally, I reckon I will soak you in. I don't think I'll even say anything for the first minute and a half. I'll just soak you in. Like I've put my feet into the great, you know, water upon the earth's crust. And I'll just, yeah, really enjoy
it. Repeated out that, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm hoping that's the telling for the summing up of the show.
okay, Tom. The Big Wolf, over to you.
Carl Brewster was the best pebble and stone collector on Brighton Beach. Every day he'd get up and he'd have his breakfast, usually a full English, but as he got older, he'd change to porridge with vegetables and fruit, or just fruit, not vegetables. That was my own brain thinking too quickly. And he'd put on his rain mac, or in the summer, a vest, and pick up his favourite bucket, which he called Martin, and he'd walk down to the beach and he'd scour it for stones and pebbles with interesting shapes and nooks in, and, you know, and every day he'd find amazing pebbles and stones. And as he walked through Brighton, people would say, oh, you know, did you find anything interesting today? And he'd show these amazing shapes and stuff. One day, however, when he was looking through the pebbles and stones, he found a stone that was really not that good to look at. It was had nubbins all over it, and it was a bit crusty, and it sort of had seaweed and bird shit on it, right? But there was something sort of different about it. It stood out from all the other pebbles and stones upon the beach. But he looked at it, Carl, he said, no, that's not for me. And he picked up a heart-shaped pebble next to it, and then a couple of other pebbles and stones, and he went back to his house, and he lived alone, which was quite sad. He made his tea. He made chicken, a chicken casserole, and he sat and ate it. But he couldn't get the grotty, horrible, dirty old stone out of his head. And he lay awake all that night just thinking about the stone. And before dawn broke, he rushed downstairs and picked up his cagoule and his torch, and he sprinted to the beach and scoured to where he was that day where he'd seen the stone. And where it was gone. The sea had taken it. And he sighed and he thought, well, the sea needed it. It took it because it was special. And I should always remember this stone. But I never took it because I couldn't see its beauty until it was too late. And that is the story of the stone. So, yeah.
That's lovely. So sort of guy finds a nice stone,
yeah,
a bit dirty, leaves it there, and then he comes back and it's washed away.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. I mean, there's another bit to the story if you want to hear it.
Okay, yeah, sure, go for it.
Years later, he's walking down the beach and he sees a little boy with his family, and the little boy has a stone in his hand, right? And it's a stone that he saw years before. But where that it's been sense. Washed into the sea has cleaned it. And also, because of salt water, it's sort of like finely
dissolved
tuned.
All the stuff off of it, yeah.
And also finely tuned its edges. And now the stone's beautiful. Right. And the little boy holds it aloft and the sun catches it perfectly. And people from the fish and chip shop shout, "Oh my God, look at that stone!" And he smiles, he thinks, "I could have had that stone with all my other stones." So,
wow.
And actually, in the end, his house falls down because it's got too many stones in it.
Oh, that's a bit M. Night Shyamalan, isn't it, that?
Yeah, but another flip of the story is, you actually don't need 1,000 million stones. You only need one that makes your life complete. No. So there's loads of different things for people to take away from this week.
Yeah, that's good. There's a lot of different interpretations and stuff.
Yeah, that's really good.
All right, well, look, thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Wolf and Owl. Yeah. We're going to try and do a bonus episode. It's slightly tough because Tom's on this sitcom that he's doing. I'm on Ranganation, so we're finding it slightly difficult to find time.
It's just collabing times. I'm working nights, Romish is working days. But
so yeah. We apologise for that. But,
yeah, but we are together, so even if we do like a 15-minute record together or... Yeah, just sort of like actually together. Well, if you bring your laptop.
Thank you so much for listening to the Wolf and Owl podcast. We hope you had a nice time. We certainly have. I hope you have as much fun listening to it as we do recording it.
And also, maybe everyone send a message to Romesh or email saying, "I'm giving you hugs to cheer him up."
No, I don't need cheering up. Thank you. Take care of yourselves. And each other, yeah. Yeah. That's Jerry Springer, isn't it?
Yeah. And remember, everyone just think about being, think about their own rose in their lives.
Mm. We need to think about a more definitive end to this. This is like 1,000 endings, like fucking Lord of the Rings.
Thanks, guys. Cheers for listening.
Take care. Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.